A reading from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
I had a fifth grade teacher. Her name was Miss Bork. Now that's a sitting duck for 10-year-olds. Miss Bork, Miss Bork. But Miss Bork was a genius, because every little while there was extra time at the end of the class, and she would tell us a story or read a poem, give us some unusual thing to think about or perhaps see. And I shall never forget, one day she asked us a question. Children, when you go out at night, those are the days when we hadn't turned, you know, night to day with too much lighting. When you go out at night and you see the stars, what do you see? Well, you know what fifth graders are going to answer. Stars, Mrs. Bork. What's what, Miss Bork? No, no, children, you see the Milky Way. Oh, we know that. But children, do you know what you're seeing when you look at the stars and see the Milky Way? No, Mrs. Bork. You are looking through the edge of your galactic home. That phrase stunned me and has stayed with me ever since. That at night when I go out, in fact, that night I remember climbing out on the porch into the window boxes, much against my aunt's admonition, to look at the stars. And there it was, the edge of our galactic home. When I consider the moon and the stars, who are we? That's one of the works of the Spirit. That's one of the works of the Spirit, to be stunned. Now, the Spirit works in many and multitudinous ways for us. Sometimes it makes prophets speak. Sometimes it makes people do things, drive us to action. Sometimes it just causes us to sing. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yeah, sometimes it does that. And sometimes it just causes us to see something. Something is revealed. Something is illuminated. Thank you, Miss Bork. Wherever you are, I hope you're in God's galactic home. The psalmist's question, when I see these things, who am I? Who are we? That's a spirit work. It also keeps our talk about Holy Spirit from becoming a cliche. And that's a problem we have sometimes with the language of Zion and easy talk about being filled with the Spirit. But the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit, I suggest, and that psalm suggests to us, is cosmic. It's as though the whole created order is saturated with the Ruach of God, holding it together, giving it life. But I ask another question then. Could it be that that same Spirit, the infinite breath of God that holds things together and shows us the stars and our role in the cosmos, could that be the Spirit also that comes to us in human history, in flesh and blood? Could it be that same Spirit is both active in the cosmos and in the most intimate recesses of our life? The Gospel of Luke, I don't know whether it's one of your favorites, but certainly it's there. And haven't you taken time to read it? And haven't you seen that the Holy Spirit permeates the Gospel of Luke? Why, Luke can't even tell the story of Jesus without breaking into song four times. I'm not making this up. It's true. Mary, Zechariah, old Simeon, and don't forget the cosmic song of the angels, Gloria, Gloria. Can't tell the story of Jesus without breaking in the Spirit four times. Magnificat, Benedictus, Nunc Dimittis, Gloria. If you were Episcopalians, I'd ask how your mags and nunks are. But pay attention now, pay attention. Just like we were admonished this morning, pay attention. Just like Mary Oliver keeps saying, pay attention. Listen, Luke weaves the whole story around this work of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit. Well, before even Elizabeth says, blessed are you, the angel comes and says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then, blessed are you. And Zacchaeus, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And we have sung that ever since. Just as we sing, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And old Simeon takes the infant Jesus, the infant Jesus in his hands, in his arms, and he speaks the unforgettable words of Shalom. I've seen the kingdom now. I hold in this flesh and blood infant the promise of salvation. And not just for us, not just for the Jews, not just for the Gentiles, for all, perhaps for the whole cosmos itself in this one infant. And Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, is driven into the wilderness. Animated by the Spirit to what? Well, let me read it. Let me read it. Because you've heard it before, but maybe not quite put in this pattern. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, I'm not making this up, that's verse 14 in the fourth chapter, returned to Galilee and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. You know it, don't you? You know this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were upon him. And then he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him for a moment or two. Some of you have preached on this. When the Holy Spirit gets at work in human history, it's not all sweetness and light, because this Ruach of God can blow us against the hard places and take us to wildernesses and take us into truth and untruth in conflict that we had not been prepared for. What kind of spirit is this that breathes through the whole created order and brings life and yet comes to a womb and comes to us and leads us to truth? What kind of spirit is this? Little did I know when Archbishop Tutu came to our faculty that I was going to have an office next to him for 2 years. He came into the faculty and said, "Oh, just call me Arch." You know the story. And then one day I saw him in his little sailor cap. You know, he was only about 5'3" and spoke in a very high voice. And I said, he was dressed in a coat and he was pulling a little case. And I said, "Oh, you're going?" "Yes, I'm going home," he said, "for a little while. I've got a little report to give." You know what that was. That was a draft of the Truth and Reconciliation Report. The Spirit took him to South Africa and it changed everything. Don't let the talk about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit be a cliche, for it is the very life of God, breathed into the farthest stars and reaches of infinity and breathed into us and into our way in this world. While John the Baptizer appeared, remember, and he said of this one, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire," yes. Beware this talk about Holy Spirit. We human beings, poor children of Eve, far from the truth about ourselves, far from breathing in and sighing the Spirit, except when we pray, it says in Romans that we do that, we human beings cannot fully comprehend or ever grasp what this Spirit of God is in the cosmos, in the inmost part of our lives, in the narrative of human history. The cosmic and the social, the intimate and the prophetic, all breathed upon by the living God. But we do have someone who reminds us, who was a prophet, and who joined heaven and earth. And that's why Luke told his story, and that's why he broke into song 4 times, and that's why in this very night, that living one, that Jesus, flesh and blood, stands in our midst and wishes to breathe upon us shalom, peace, empowerment, so that we could be the ones who would preach to the poor and bring to the poor good news and release from our captivities and recover of humanity's sight to see not just the stars and the moon, but one another as temples. Temples where that same Spirit dwells. And as the old gospel hymn says, "I scarce can take that in." But the one who breathes Spirit upon his disciples breathes now upon you and me in our singing, in our praying, in our hoping, in our questioning, in our living and our dying. And as far as I can say, that's enough. That's enough. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us still. Amen.